Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Following the chapter that is sometimes called the Hall of Faith, chapter 11, because there are listed so many there who were commended for their faith, we're urged to put aside whatever might hinder us and to put our eye on Jesus Christ with undivided attention and focus upon him. And why him? Why, it is because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our leader. He's our captain, our prince. He's the one in charge. He is the highest example of faith. And how did he do this? He did it by enduring the cross and being elevated to the right hand of God. Peter wrote a similar statement in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps." Friend, as with all other things, Jesus is our example regarding obedience. He spoke on the subject. He demonstrated what true obedience is. Philippians 2 and verse says, "He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now, to obey is to do as one is told to do, to submit to controlling power, to submit to authority. It means following the orders of one who is superior, acting in accordance and compliance and yielding to the will of another. Obedience implies willingness to carry out orders from someone whose authority or control is acknowledged. It involves attitude and action, disposition and deed. There is no way to properly discuss the relationship of God and man without discussing obedience, for it is used of the highest significance in man's duty toward God and is an oft-repeated biblical theme. Obedience is the ultimate test of faith. In James 2 and verse 18, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." In Romans 1 and verse 5, and also Romans 16 and verse 26, Paul speaks of the obedience of faith. Romans 10:17 teaches that there is no separation of faith and obedience. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Now, the meaning of obedience is certainly seen in Matthew chapter 8, when we read how the wind and the sea obeyed the master's voice. In Mark 1 and verse 27, when the unclean spirit obeyed him, there was submission to the authority and to the will of the Lord. In Luke 6 and verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." We can see that the manifestation of love is obedience. John 14:15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." 1 John 5 and verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Friend, we can see then obedience is the sign of friendship. In James 2 and verse 23, it tells of Abraham and how he believed and obeyed and was called the friend of God. In John 15, verse 14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Now, the death of Christ was a supreme act of obedience, as already noted in Philippians chapter 2. In Romans 5, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Christ learned obedience by his suffering, Hebrews 5:8. He was obedient to Joseph and Mary during his youthful years in Nazareth, Luke 2 and verse 51. His baptism was an act of obedience, Matthew 3:15, because it was to fulfill all righteousness, and the commandments of God are righteousness, Psalm 119:172. His worship habits were obedience. Luke 4 and verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. You see, Christ was born under the law of Moses that required that very thing, Galatians 4 and verse 4. And Jesus showed his obedience by his recognition of his mission to do the Father's will. There is a whole medley of passages that teach this in John chapters 5 and 6 and 4 and 8 and 10 and 12 and 14. And other passages also show that the will of Jesus Christ was to do the will of his Father. We rightly conclude that the entire earthly life of Jesus was one of perfect obedience, an example of obedience, a demonstration in attitude and action as to what obedience is. He fully understood his mission, he understood obedience, and without sin he performed obediently in every respect. Now the spirit of man is involved in obedience as well as his actual performance. People may physically force actions upon a person against their will. In Matthew 27, verse 32, it speaks of some who were pressed into service or forced. For instance, Simon of Cyrene was compelled to bear the cross of Christ. A father may tell his son, mow the lawn, and the son may do it, but unwillingly. An officer may command a recruit to perform some task, and he does it, but unwillingly. Now, we may call that obedience, but friend, that's not the obedience the Lord expects. We must do what the Lord says, the way the Lord says do it, and for the reason the Lord says do it, and because he says so, and to do it voluntarily and willingly, from a motive of love, with sincerity and submissively. That's the kind of obedience the Lord expects. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul did part of what God told him to do, but Samuel said he was rebellious rather than obedient. In Acts chapter 19, 1 through 5, some had been baptized by John's baptism, but obviously after John's baptism was no longer valid. They had not yet obeyed the command of baptism that they had to obey. So Paul baptized them again, this time for the right purpose, and in the name of Jesus Christ. And just having been baptized, and even to obey God, that was not sufficient, evidently. When the reason for baptism was unknown or misunderstood, they could not obey as they must. Friend, you cannot be taught wrong and obey right. And there's a danger of some today accepting into fellowship some who have been immersed, but not according to the New Testament purpose for baptism. And those people have not really obeyed the gospel until they know and do as God has commanded. Now, thus far, we have mostly confined our study to the words and the deeds and the spirit of Jesus Christ personally regarding obedience. But there are additional points we must understand that Jesus authorized to be taught by his apostles as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. It is necessary to obey the gospel to be saved. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. Our souls are purified in obedience to the truth. 1 Peter 1, 22. Just like children are to obey parents, servants are to obey masters, and we're all subject to civil authority. When there might arise a conflict, by the way, we must obey God rather than men. Acts 5 and verse 19. We are to obey those who watch for our souls, Hebrews 13:17. And when Paul was describing our spiritual warfare, he said it consisted of casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Therefore, our entire career, if we may call it that, consists of being obedient to the Lord. And obedience shows respect for authority, does it not? In Matthew chapter 21, when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. And they said, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? Now the refusal to obey John's baptism on their part was shown to be disrespect for authority. We must respect the authority of Christ in all that we do in our service and life before God. Colossians 3 and verse 17, And whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of, that means by the authority of, the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. And friend, since we show respect or authority by obedience to that authority, what does disobedience show except disrespect? And can we expect to go to heaven with disrespect for the Savior? Now, we cannot miss the difference in the teaching done by some today and the teaching of Jesus on the subject of obedience. Unfortunately, some play down its importance. They try to give it a bad name by suggesting the obedient are trying to earn and merit salvation by works of righteousness. Friends, such is not the case, and it is a hideous false doctrine to even suggest that. False teachers who teach salvation by grace only, or by faith only, they often erect straw men to demolish in their attempts to speak disparagingly of the necessity of obeying the Lord. Those who obey are not trying to earn salvation. In Luke 17 and 10, So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now some scoff at obedience by suggesting it is an attempt to be saved by rule-keeping. Some sneer at obedience, calling it rule-keeping. Well, dear friend, there are rules to keep. And sometimes people ask, Why is so much preaching on obedience? We need to hear of the grace and the love of God. Well, friend, we do need to hear of the grace and love of God. And we do hear of the grace and love of God. But we do not have to persuade God to be gracious and loving. But we do need to persuade people to obey. God's commands are not optional. And you do not glorify God by minimizing His commands. One false teacher said that we do not contribute one whit to our salvation. Now let him or any other try to be saved and ignore the duty to obey. Can we disobey and still be saved? If so, prove that from Scripture. Our choice is to obey or disobey and reap the consequences of our choice. God's commandments are not mere suggestions that we can take or leave with equal consequence. Contrast the Lord's commands to obey with the doctrine of just be honest and sincere. Why should brethren ever be guilty and negligent in using false teachers of such false doctrines, fellowshipping them, bringing them into youth meetings, copying them? Friend, you cannot be saved by just being honest and sincere. Does not truth matter? It certainly does to those who love the Lord, and those who love the Lord know that honesty and sincerity is not sufficient. One must obey what the Lord has said. In Hebrews 12 and verse 2, it tells us that Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. And Hebrews 5, 9, And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to them that obey Him. Did you notice? To them that obey Him. Are we to think we're just as well off not to obey in light of such clear and precise teaching? Who will be saved? Will you be saved? You will if you obey. And if you don't, you won't. Now this is not standing in judgment of anybody against the will of God regarding judging. This is merely to emphasize what the Lord has taught. And if you disagree, you're standing in judgment of God, because you're saying that what the Lord taught is wrong. Are you sure you're qualified to do that? This is but to accept the word of Christ, and this is what is to look to Jesus. To disobey is to look away from Jesus. And now we see Jesus told us about obedience. He has shown us what obedience is. He commands obedience. He expects obedience. He's given the commands that we are to obey, and He has conditioned salvation on obedience to those commands, to believe and to repent, to confess and to be baptized and to live a faithful life in Christ. Now in light of this, what shall be the end of them that obey not the truth? 1 Peter 4:7. And what are the blessings to those who do obey? Yes, it is true. Trust and obey. For there's no other way. To be happy in Jesus, let us trust and obey. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.